Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will start a brand new series of studies here on Grace Alive, a series entitled Onesimus, a Trophy of Grace. In this series of studies, we'll find out who Onesimus is and why we say that he demonstrates God's grace and is a trophy of that grace. Philemon will be our starting point for this series of studies. Only one chapter in the book of Philemon, so we just turn to Philemon, and we'll start at verse 1 in the book of Philemon. As you turn there, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program, we'll give you complete information how you can contact us here. If you'd like to, if you have questions or comments about the program, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. If you just write and request them, we'll be glad to send them to you without any cost or obligation. Right now, though, we will begin our study in the book of Philemon, as I mentioned. Philemon, verse number 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, the topic of our series of studies this month is Onesimus, a trophy of grace. And Onesimus is, and his story, the events surrounding Onesimus and his life, are revealed to us and chronicled for us in the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon is, if you're going in order in the Bible, it's the last of Paul's epistles. It's the last one that we read before we get to the book of Hebrews, where we enter back on dispensational ground into a future time when God once again is dealing with the nation Israel, fulfilling their promises and their covenants and their blessings. So the book of Philemon stands at a very important point. It stands at a point in the scripture where you're ready to have another dividing line, ready to have another transition. We've told you many times that there are three books in the New Testament that are transition books and that give people great difficulty doctrinally in understanding. The book of Matthew, the book of Acts, and the book of Hebrews. The book of Matthew is a transition from the Old Testament law to a kingdom economy, to the presentation of the kingdom. The message of Matthew is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Matthew is the transition book that takes us from that Old Testament law ground to the presentation of the coming kingdom. The book of Acts is another transition. The book of Acts transitions us from the presentation of that kingdom to the nation Israel and the message the kingdom of heaven is at hand into the dispensation of grace, where the message is that the kingdom and the wrath of God that accompanied its establishment has been delayed, set aside, and God's mercy and grace have been made manifest to mankind. And the book of Acts transitions us into that period, into that time when no longer is the message the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but the message now is the kingdom and the wrath delayed, and God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And then as we get to the end of the dispensation of grace, the end of Paul's epistles, we come to the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews transitions us back from the dispensation of grace and the message of grace and the message of Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, onto that kingdom ground again, where the nation Israel is preparing to receive the fulfillment of their covenants and their promises and their blessings. And the transition occurs as we go through the book of Hebrews, the transition back onto kingdom ground. So if you're going to have trouble in the New Testament with doctrine, it's most likely going to come in one of those three books. Those books that mark the point, the fact that something has changed and there's a transition taking place. And that transition in Matthew from the law to kingdom in Acts, from the kingdom to the dispensation of grace, and in Hebrews from the dispensation of grace back to the fulfillment of Israel's kingdom. The book of Philemon that comes right before Hebrews is the final instruction of Paul as the books are arranged in Scripture. And we believe that the order of those books and the canon of Scripture is divinely superintended so that those books are in the order that God would have us to have them. So that when we get to the book of Philemon, God intended that to be the last book of grace, the last book of Paul's revelation to us. And in that revelation, in that book of Philemon, Paul is going to recount a story of Onesimus. Onesimus and how Onesimus became a trophy of grace. And how that account of Onesimus and the story of Onesimus and his life and his relationship with Paul and others in his life becomes for us a living laboratory of how grace is to work and how grace is to function. You might say, well, it seems like Paul's epistles end with sort of a whimper. this little tiny epistle to an individual, to Philemon. You might think that the greatest of Paul's epistles are written to the church at Rome, the longest of all his epistles, and where he goes through all the basic principles of dispensationalism and grace. Or that wonderful epistle to the Ephesians when he talks about all that we have in the heavenly places in Christ. And surely one of those books should be set at the end of Paul's epistles to be a grand send-off, as it were, back into the book of Hebrews and back to God's dealings with the nation Israel. But instead we find this little book, the book of Philemon, not written to a church, to a local assembly, but written to an individual. Not written with the overt purpose of explaining or demonstrating or revealing some great new truth or great new doctrine, but written apparently, seemingly, just to reveal an account of a real-life situation between Paul and Philemon and Onesimus. And we're going to define and understand who those people are in just a few moments here. But in this book, in this shortest of all of Paul's epistles, and in this real-life illustration that we see in the book of Philemon, we learn about how grace is to work, about how grace is to function. We learn about how grace functions, how it functioned in this situation that will be revealed here with Paul and Philemon and Onesimus. We learn how grace functions in your salvation, bringing you to eternal life in Christ. And then we learn how grace is to function in your life, in your day-to-day experience, in your day-to-day relationships and dealings with others. All of that information is contained in this one little book of Philemon. All of the information about how grace saves you, how grace gives you a means to live your life, is found in these 25 verses and in the events that are described and the people that are described here in the book of Philemon. So we're going to take this month and we're going to look at this book of Philemon. And we're really not going to go through it in a verse-by-verse fashion. We will deal with most of the verses as we go through the study because, of course, there are only 25 of them. But it's not so much to go through in a verse-by-verse fashion, but to understand the story that Paul is telling, to understand the account here. And when I say the story he's telling, I don't by any means imply that it's not true. It's not a story in the sense that it's not true. It is an account of a real-life situation. It is Paul's recounting of a situation that involves him and involves Onesimus and involves Philemon. Now, I've mentioned several times that those are the primary people involved in the book and involved in this narrative. So let's take a moment in this first study to just understand who those people are. Just understand the role that each of those people plays in this account that Paul has here in the book of Philemon. First of all, in Philemon verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. So in this account, Paul obviously is the writer. He's the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Timothy's there with him as he writes. So it's Paul and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Now, who was Paul? Well, if you tune into Grace Alive on a regular basis, you should understand who Paul is. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. So the first person in the account here is Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles. And let's just look at a couple verses to remind us and reinforce for us who he is. If you go to Romans chapter 11 and verse 13, Romans 11 and verse number 13, Paul says this, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." So Paul presents himself there in the book of Romans chapter 11 as the apostle to the Gentiles. He is the one that God set aside. He's the one that God sent with a message to the Gentiles, as opposed to the 12, which he sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And in Galatians 2, we see Paul at a meeting with the 12 apostles in Jerusalem. And in Galatians chapter 2, if you notice verse number 7, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." You notice in that passage there, Paul breaks down for you the ministry, his ministry, and the ministry of the 12. And by this time, there weren't 12 of them left, there were only 11. But the ministry of those apostles that Jesus Christ had ordained in his earthly ministry. And he breaks it down this way: "I have had committed to me the gospel of the uncircumcision. They had committed to them the gospel of the circumcision. I've had committed to me a gospel about uncircumcision, about what God is doing among the Gentiles, the uncircumcision, apart from the circumcision and keeping of the law. Peter had committed to him and those other apostles that worked with Peter a gospel that involved the circumcision, those that were physical descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Two different gospels, one involving promises and covenants to the circumcision of the nation Israel, the other involving promises not made based on covenants to the nation Israel, and blessings not made based upon specific promises to a physical lineage and seed." He goes on to say, "When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." The division of ministry there. They go to the, Paul does, that is, to the heathen, the 12, to the circumcision, to that little flock of believers, that true believing remnant in Israel, they minister to them. And the rest of the world, as it were, becomes Paul's field of ministry. So there's a clear distinction here between Paul and the other apostles. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul tells us this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Ephesians 3, 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." Paul says, this message that I've received for you Gentiles is the dispensation of the grace of God. Why is all of that important as we look at Philemon and understanding who it is that's writing to Philemon? Well, that is important because we need to understand a couple of things. Philemon, as we'll see in a few minutes, is from Colossae, the city of Colossae. Most likely Philemon is a Gentile. And it is Paul who has a unique standing and position as the apostle to the Gentiles. It is Paul who has that unique position of being able to take God's message to the Gentiles. And then secondly, not only who Paul is taking it to is significant, but what the message is. Paul says, "I'm revealing to you the dispensation of the grace of God." And Paul has the opportunity to take to the Gentiles a message of grace. If you notice verse 3 of the book of Philemon, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The message of Paul to the Gentiles is one of grace. It's one of peace. It's one of an offer of the gift of eternal life to the Gentiles, to those that in the kingdom program and in the prophetic program were destined to damnation and destined to the wrath of God. So it's significant that Paul writes this book. It's a book written to a Gentile to demonstrate and to illustrate the matchless grace of God. And in Paul's salutation, in Paul's opening, we can see that. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He offers him grace. Paul, the apostle of Gentiles, offering to a Gentile the grace and the peace of God. Now, the second person is the person to whom Paul is writing. And that person is, of course, the namesake of the book, Philemon. And for the purposes of this book, and this study, Philemon has several roles that he plays. Notice with me, if you will, verse 10. Philemon, verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Paul talks to Philemon about a third man, Onesimus. So we're going to talk more about him in just a moment. But in talking about Philemon, it's important that we understand how Philemon and Onesimus are related. What is their relationship? How do they relate to one another? Well, if you look down in verse 16, start at verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed, and the he there is Onesimus. Perhaps Onesimus therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a beloved brother. Not now as a servant. And in fact, we read in verse 11 about Onesimus, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. In the account here, Philemon is apparently Onesimus's master. Onesimus is a servant in the household of Philemon. And Philemon, therefore, is his master. Now, Onesimus has become unprofitable to Philemon, and that's part of what we need to understand as the account goes on, and we'll look at more next week. But Philemon is the master. He is the master of Onesimus in the account. But he also, in the account, is a friend. And that is, he's a friend of Paul. Notice with me, if you will, down in verse, look to verse 20, or verse 19 rather. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say unto thee that thou owest unto me thine own self besides. Paul says to Philemon, you owe to me thy own self besides. If you look over to verse 9, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He writes to Philemon and he says, Philemon, you owe me your own self besides. It seems as though Philemon perhaps was saved through Paul's ministry. It seems as though that he's known Paul for quite a while. Paul now writes to him as Paul the aged. And he appeals to his friendship. In verse 8 he says, Paul's going to ask him to do something in this epistle. And in verse 8 he says, therefore though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. That is, I could use my apostolic authority and just say, Philemon, you need to do this. Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee. Philemon, I beseech you, I care about you, I love you, we're friends. And I don't want to command you to do something, but for love's sake, I beseech you. So Philemon, he is Onesimus's master, but he is Paul's friend. And those are the two roles that we're going to see Philemon playing in this account, in the book of Philemon. Philemon is the master of Onesimus, but a friend of Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, and one that has known him for some time. And finally, Onesimus. Who is he? Well, I already mentioned, he is the servant. If you notice in verse 16, as Paul writes, he says, not now as a servant, but above a servant. So he's asking that when Onesimus returns to Philemon, Philemon not consider him a servant anymore, but even more than a servant. So he's a servant, but if you notice, we also read earlier, down in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. So Onesimus is presented here as an unprofitable servant. He is a servant of Philemon, but he has apparently left. and has become unprofitable. Now, one of the ways that we know that he left, let's turn to the book of Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 4. And this is also a way that we know where Philemon and Onesimus lived. We know that they lived in Colossae because of some things that Paul says in Colossians chapter 4. Notice Colossians 4. Now, Paul writes the book of Colossians from Rome. He's in Rome, he's in prison, he's writing to the church at Colossae, the church, the local assembly at Colossae. Colossians 4, verse 7, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." So as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, they're going to obviously want to know, how are things going with you there as you're imprisoned in Rome? And he says, Tychicus will declare unto you. Tychicus apparently is going to deliver the letter that Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. Of course, in Paul's day, you can't just drop a letter in the mailbox and have it get there. If you write a letter to one of these local assemblies, one of the things Paul had to do, and you see this throughout his epistles, is someone's got to take that letter there. And the epistle to the Colossians apparently is delivered by Tychicus. And he tells them, Tychicus will let you know how things are going. My state he will declare unto you. But then he goes on in verse 8, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here." So there's someone with Tychicus as he takes this letter to Colossae. That person that's with him is Onesimus. Onesimus, this same Onesimus that we read about in the book of Philemon, is traveling back to Colossae with Tychicus with Paul's letter. And probably he is carrying the letter for Philemon with him. Tychicus is going back with the letter, Paul's letter, for the church at Colossae, for the whole assembly. Onesimus has a personal letter that he's carrying for Philemon, his former master. He's become unprofitable. For one thing, we know he's in Rome. Paul has met up with him in Rome, and we'll look a little bit more in coming weeks at the circumstances of that. But Paul's met up with Onesimus in Rome, and he now sends him back to Philemon, to Colossae, with a letter. So we know that Philemon and Onesimus, Philemon's family and Onesimus, they live in Colossae. Another way we know that, if you look in verse 17, as he writes to the church at Colossae, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it." He has a little personal message in this epistle to the church at Colossae to Archippus. Well, if you notice Philemon, verse 1, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house." Archippus, it seems as though Apphia and Archippus are the wife and son of Philemon, respectively. They seem to be part of that household because he names all three, and then he says, "the church in thy house." And when he writes the book of Colossians, he has a little message in there for Archippus. So if Archippus is Philemon's son, then that's another indication that Philemon, his wife, his son, his servant, all live in the city of Colossae, and that Onesimus is carrying this letter, what we today would call the epistle of Paul to Philemon. He's carrying that letter back with him, traveling with Tychicus, as Tychicus carries the epistle to the whole church at Colossae. So these two men are coming from Paul, imprisoned in Rome, traveling to Colossae, one with a letter for the whole church, the book of Colossians, the other, Philemon, the other, rather, Onesimus, with this personal letter for Philemon, his former servant, or his former master, rather. So that's the sort of the setup, if you will. That's the circumstances surrounding the writing of the book of Philemon, and it's being delivered to Philemon by Onesimus. Now, we'll begin next week to understand more about these relationships. These three men, Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus, they are the three men that play the prominent role in this epistle. And the relationship between the three of them is going to serve as an illustration for us. An illustration of God's grace at work in redemption, salvation, reconciliation. An illustration of God's grace at work in our daily lives as believers, in our relationships and our dealings with one another. But for today, we just wanted to understand who it is. See, this is a very small book, 25 verses. You may have just skimmed over it and not thought much about it in the past. But when you begin to understand the people and the personalities involved and the relationship between those people and personalities, you begin to find out that the book of Philemon is just a treasure trove for helping us understand the principles of grace. So we trust that you'll be tuned in next week as we continue this study in the book of Philemon. And until then, we'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org. And we encourage you to check out our website. We've got a brand new website, a lot of new information on that website, some videos from our summer Bible conferences in past years. So if you're able to have web access, check out that website, www.gracealive.org. And also through that website, you can email us here if you'd like to receive the information that we're talking about today. Finally, we have a toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. And you can also contact us through that toll-free phone number. And when you contact us, if you request it, we'll be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes, the DVDs or the CDs of this entire month's series of studies. Just ask for the series on Onesimus. We'll be glad to get it out to you with no cost or obligation. And now until next week, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.